Hey, I'm Alan McGuire.
And I'm Andrea Cleary.
And this is Juvenalia, a podcast where we talk to an interesting person about a bit of pop culture that was important to them when they were young. Our guest today is award-winning podcast man, Andy Gaffney. Welcome back to the show, Andy.
Ew. I'm delighted. Thank you so much for having me back. It's one thing to be asked to be on Juvenalia, yet another thing to be asked back. So I am incredibly.
You're joining an elite group of mostly other podcasters.
We've had Andy on twice.
If my experience is anything to go by, you'll be hosting the podcast within a couple of years. So,
Alex Zane took over. Inside Madame still on Pop World.
Yeah.
Peter McGann's actually been on five times at this point. He was on as the Nugent.
My job.
No, oh, six. Wow. He was six? On twice as himself, a Christmas special, once as Liam Nugent, and twice as Tobey Maguire when we did a special where Giles Brody was Leonardo DiCaprio. No, Ellen was Leonardo DiCaprio. I think Giles Brody was Tobey Maguire, and then myself and Peter were the other two members of the Pussy Posse.
We did two. I don't remember. When
this is very, very early Juvenalia. Like,
oh
first
my
year.
God. Yeah, I'm going to unearth that and listen to it. I don't think I've ever heard that. I need to.
Mm-hmm. But today we're here with Andy for a second, but not the last time. You've picked something which I'm very excited you've picked, because something I was obsessed with, but not that I would ever pick for Juvenalia. So I'm very excited that we get a chance to talk about it, because it loomed large for, I would say, maybe 8 months of my life. Please introduce your thing first.
Well, you know, because I wanted to be highbrow and brilliant and just, you know, you've had Landfill Indie recently and you've had a lot of, you know, literature and stuff, I thought I wanted to add to that mountain of classics, which is why I want to talk about the Power Rangers.
And the Mighty Morphin variety.
The Mighty Morphin, not just your regular Power Rangers. Andrew, we're going Mighty Morphin. But like, you know, I was thinking about this, and this is the level of cool that I'm going to be bringing throughout these stories of Power Rangers. Because like, I was thinking, like, I could pick antics, or I could, you know what I mean? And like, oh, remember that time you were drunk with the editors and all this stuff. But no, I chose that, like, there was one Halloween where I dressed up as the White Ranger. Tommy is the White Ranger. And a really good costume. It was a really cool mask and all this thing. And I thought I was the bee's knees. And as I was walking down Fernhill to trick-or-treat, I seen my aunt at the bottom of the road. And she said, "Well, I know who that Power Ranger is. I can tell by your wonky walk." So this is the level of cool that I'm going to be bringing throughout.
We're talking
this.
Elite levels of cool.
Yeah,
here. This sounds
yeah.
You would have bullied me if I was around. Like,
yeah, so I tell you what, six time McGann better watch out, because you'd be like, get him
so
back.
So the White Power Ranger was your guy.
No. That costume was the best costume available at the time. And the White Ranger.
It shows a level of self-confidence to choose to be the White Ranger.
I was, you know. Well, like, and I shouldn't really have, you know, because I wasn't, I don't want to say odd-looking child, but there was, you know.
Look, it's a cards and table. We are nature's blue Power Rangers.
Yeah, but see, blue is my color. Like, everything I wear is blue and everything I own is blue. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was nature trying to tell me something, that, look, you know, don't try to peak too early, boy.
I guess for anybody who doesn't know what the Power Rangers are, what are the Power Rangers? What's the lore?
Well, originally they were five teenagers of attitude, okay? Mm-hmm. And then they became a sixth Power Ranger. They say it became six teenagers with attitude, in which, you know, I watched the first episode again there, and if this is what attitude is, I don't want to be anywhere in the room with these guys, because they are so cocky and irritating and very good at these things and all. And I just, I wouldn't want to be around these five people with attitude if they were in my school.
They're sort of like bullies in a play. Do you know? Or like cool kids in a play. They're very, to borrow a phrase from Sentimental Garbage, they're very a play, but not in the same way that Sex and the City is, but more like your fourth class production of an out of copyright high school Power Ranger story.
Yeah, because like, you know, because Alpha 5, the robot, you know, who's Zordon. Zordon is the boss of the Power Rangers. And to stop invasion from the baddies, tasks Alpha into finding five teenagers with attitude. And up comes these guys that are very, very good at everything, you know? But I'm thinking, like, in the Arklow CBS secondary school, like, one of our lads, like, took the class hostage for art class one time. So, I mean like, the attitude levels are pretty tame in the Team Power Ranger.
If you're looking for five kids with attitude, I went to school in Finglas. Like, if you want to talk about attitude, you're looking in the wrong place, guys. You need to be coming to the Northside schools, the Northside girls'
Catholic
school.
Go down the park
school
at lunchtime, yeah.
Go down the park at lunchtime.
See them, get them.
Would you have taken the offer if they came and said, look, we need five teenagers with attitude? Gaffney's one of them.
I had nothing but attitude as a teenager, but my problem was that I was all talk. So I would have been given all this and flipping my sword around and stuff, but when it came down to it, I wouldn't have been able to deliver, I don't think. I'd want to just go smoking again.
Yeah, but that's what five teenagers of attitude would be doing. They would just be off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The actual five they picked kind of have what would now be called gym influencer energy. Mm-hmm. I think the introduction to all of them is them like doing feats of strength or acrobatics, essentially.
Yeah. Big protein drink energy off them.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the lads. Yeah.
What always bugs me about Power Rangers, and I guess like that kind of era is saved by the bell as well, is that it's like grunge never happened.
I know.
You know?
Yeah. That's so true. Or punk, or just anything you know, subversive.
Well, Bulk, yeah, I suppose Bulk the Bully is quite punk dressed. He has like a torn denim waistcoat. And you know, I like Bulk these days, you know. I think
I
was.
Need to look at him again.
I think he was underserved.
He gets fat shamed a lot in the early ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
you know, there's a lot of throwing cake in faces and all that kind of things, you know. Would you like some basic facts about the making of Power Rangers?
Oh, please. Yes.
So, the Power Rangers came to be when Ham Sabam is his name, was the writer of such songs as Inspector Gadget and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ooh,
so...
Hey.
You know, he was a band guy. He was a music guy. And on a holiday, he seen this show with robots and lads in suits and all these things. And it was his genius idea of, look at those great toys, essentially. Look at these really, really cool toys we could have. So he brought on board a TV producer. And they decided to make the cheapest television show of all time, where what they did was they took this super simian show in Japan, and just anytime any actor from Japan turns up that needs to be in the suit, they just cut in a random American person. They just filmed all that separately, and years upon years upon years later, and just kept on reusing the footage again and again.
Is that what they
and
did?
Again. Mm. Yeah, and it is when you watch it now, you think, God, this is shameful to the point of like.
I was watching it earlier and I was like, there's no way these kids are doing those flips.
No, like, those flips were done. Those people doing those flips were probably like 50 by the time the Power Rangers came out.
Those were archival flips. Yeah.
To the point of like...
Like Milhouse's stand-in in the...
To the point of, you know, Rita Repulsa, the big baddie in Power Rangers? Mm. Well, the reason why they needed a new baddie, eventually they get a new baddie and they get Lord Zedd in, was because they couldn't use more footage of Rita Repulsa because the woman was long dead.
Oh my God.
So they're like, wow, what are we going to do? And they're like, well, let's just get a costume of someone there and pop it on, like, you know. And it just became, as we'll get into, when it became more and more and more of a phenomenon, this just kept on bumping into problem after problem after problem, because they ran out of, eventually, the Sixth Ranger, Tommy, everybody's favorite. Tommy,
what color is he?
Green.
Okay.
And then later white.
And the reason for that, my friend, was because they ran out of usable footage for a Green Ranger. So they just went, well, let's just get rid of him then. And then that backfired massively on them, to the point where kids stopped going to schools. People just rebelled so much, and the makers were getting so many letters from parents saying, I don't care what you have to do, my kid will not go to school, he's crying all the time, get that Green Ranger back now. So they went, right, and just found some footage of a White Ranger that happened to be near the other Rangers, and went, well, he's now a White Ranger. And then Tommy got brought back in as a White Ranger. So this is
how did they do it in the lore? Like, is the White Ranger like an evolution? Is it a promotion in some way? Or?
Oh, my friend, yes, it is. Right. So they use because Tommy was originally a bad character in Power Rangers. He was a bad Ranger. He was so he fought the Power Rangers because he was under the spell of Rita. So his coin was evil, had some evil power in it. So Rita could tap into that, and she had a candle. God, I cried my eyes out when I was a wee un, and they had this candle that would burn down. And when it burnt out, his power was gone. There was no more Green Ranger. And you're watching this as a kid, not thinking of the cruelty that went into making the show and the cutthroat nature of how they made the show. And you're thinking, well, obviously they're going to stop this. They're going to stop this. Then we'll have more Green Ranger. But the candle burns out, and he's like, all right, I guess I better go. And I was
oh my God.
What?
That's horrific.
Because I remember talking to Brita, my mother, lovely Brita, and she then was even kind of getting upset because she's seen how much it meant to me. She was like, no. And Tommy's gone. And I was like, I think Tommy's gone.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But
you're too young to be dealing with that.
I know. Yeah, my 21st birthday was like,
it was ruined.
I was ruined. And they're like, I was devastated. But you know what the only solace was? The only solace was. I'm jumping way around the.
This thing is my Power fault. Rangers. I'm asking you questions.
the only solace was that I had a cassette of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers theme song, and the B side of that was "Go Green Ranger Go," which, you know, I'll tell you right now, you both will love. Yous are cooler than me when it comes to music. This has more guitar solos than you've ever heard in your entire life.
In this song.
It is. If this came on in... God, I got to really show my... what's a rock and roll bar? Brooksells. If this came on in Brooksells, people would be like, right, I need to... Let's go home and watch Power Rangers right now because it's that rock and roll. But at the end of the song... And this is the only comfort I had, was that Alpha 5, the robot friend, the robot butler, we call him, said to Zordon, what's that? And Zordon goes, that's the future. That's the white. That's the White Ranger. And I was like, rewind that tape, lads. We're going again.
Oh my God. Mm. So it was like prophesied in this B-side.
Yeah, because they had already
decided. So
yeah, it's like our generation's Pink Floyd, you know, the hidden message.
But this is like this is the exact stuff that like rewards nerds. Like if you're so nerdy that you're listening to the B-side of the tape, you deserve knowledge.
Yeah, you deserve to know that's the future. You deserve to know that the White Ranger
you're
is coming.
You're the future.
Yeah. Now the only thing is, when the White Ranger turned up, they're like, you're now the leader of the Power Rangers. And if I was the Red Ranger who was the lead, I'd be like, here, lads.
Raging.
Let's back up a few steps here now.
Yeah.
Wait, how old were you during all this?
Do you know what is strange, right?
Don't avoid the question.
Do you know what is strange, right? Because I remember thinking, I remember being like feeling slightly judged that I was so into Power Rangers in like third class and second class.
Okay, I'm glad you said class.
Yeah. Of college, third year of college. And
third class is what? 8?
Yeah,
that's fine.
I think that is absolutely. And again, like I think it was these hard culture boys down in Wicklow that were into
boys attitude.
You know, other things. But because I think that's absolutely fine. Because I've looked up the dates many a time now when I can't sleep at night, and I think I'm perfectly aged.
I think you're perfectly aged for Power Rangers.
Yeah, I was 9, 10, which I think is fine.
Yeah,
to be into space ninja stuff, I think that's like.
Yeah.
Prime, optimal space ninja age. Yeah.
And it was like live action and stuff.
Andrea, that face was like not convinced.
No, I think it's fine. I had a conversation with Harry a few minutes ago before we started recording. And I was like, did you ever watch Power Rangers? And he was like, no, I remember watching an episode of it when I was like 9. And even then I knew it was for kids. He'll kill me for saying that, but no, my brother watched it I thought it was I thought it was so boring whenever the pink and yellow Rangers weren't there. They were the two girls, pink and yellow, and whenever they weren't there I was like, oh, when are they gonna come back? And I sort of also hated whenever they were flipping around in the suits because I couldn't see them and I wanted to see their faces. I must have had a crush on one of them. Like, there must have been some reason why I was like, get to their faces. But I don't remember very well because I was quite young. But like, yeah, I hated seeing them doing flips and stuff because I didn't like the violence.
I'm trying to figure out which Power Ranger would have been.
Which Power Ranger did I have a crush on? Did one of them wear glasses?
Yeah. But you, I thought you'd been more into the bad boys.
No. I think it was one with glasses.
Yeah, that's a Billy
Ranger.
I looked up this Green Ranger and.
Hello.
Hi. So which Ranger had glasses? The Blue Ranger.
Billy. Blue Ranger. Yeah.
Okay, Billy Cranston was the character's name.
Billy Cranston.
Do you know why he was called Billy Cranston? Because.
Why?
Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad fame was the voice of a lot of the monsters, and he was so loved among the cast members and the staff they needed to give a surname in one episode, so they called him Cranston. So Billy Cranston.
That was him. Liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah. he gives I don't know if you watch Stargate at all, but Daniel vibes. And he's clearly 45 years old as well. Still from the episode I'm looking
He just came back in like the official 30th anniversary episode there.
Oh really?
Came back, yeah. Oh. You know. Ages, you know, look, we're all in the one boat going towards the lighthouse at the end of the day. I know that, but I think, but I think age has, age hit poor Billy.
Poor Billy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thing about a lot of those actors is that if you look at their IMDb's, it's just various types of Power Rangers, like over and over again. That's kind of all that they kind of just fell into that universe and it just stayed there across, like, cause like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is like one of like 8 or 9 different Power Rangers series.
Yeah.
At this point. There's like Neo, there's Dinosaur, or like
the Zeo, Samurai, and Space, and Alien, and it became, because, and again, because they had this footage, they had this endless just supply of footage that they could just keep on, whenever they got taught, whenever kids stopped buying the toys, they would just go, right, let's give them some new Rangers, to the point of now, you know, there was an episode. Now, you thought I cried over the Green Ranger. Let me tell you. There was an episode called The Power Transfer. And in that episode, the Red Ranger, who was my favorite, the Red Ranger, Billy, poor Billy. It's not Billy. Not Billy. Billy survived. Billy actually kind of was always in Power Rangers for many, many years. The Red Ranger, Jason, the Yellow Ranger, Trini, and Zach, the Black Ranger, they the stay was announced on at the start of this episode that there was a peacekeeping conference in Switzerland, and they were going to choose 3 ambassadors to go to Switzerland to be goodwill ambassadors to promote peace. And it suddenly comes up on this news footage. Well, like the other members of the Power Rangers are watching it, and up comes their 3 pictures that, you know, Jason, Zach and Trini have been chosen to go to Switzerland and be these peace ambassadors. So then they're like, but oh no, that means they'll have to leave the Power Rangers. And that means we need to find 3 more people with attitude.
Because it's a full-time job going to Switzerland and being a peace ambassador.
We need to find 3 more teenagers with attitude. So then they had to go to space and get this sword for the power transfer to go. But at the same time, there's this really sad goodbye with like the sun is setting and you can't see, you just see shadows. And 3 rangers go up and say, guys, have you not heard? You've been chosen to be peace ambassadors. And they're like, oh, right. Now, when you watch that again.
That all right was so spot on.
When you watch that again, you realize that the reason why that they now are suddenly going to Switzerland to be safe is that they were brutally sacked the day before filming. And they were brutally sacked the day before filming. And that goodbye scene is just 3 completely different people just covered in shadow. One guy randomly shouts out, all right, trying to sound like Jason, the Red Ranger. And then that's them hoofed out.
What happened with the sacking? Do we know? Do we know why they were sacked?
Yeah, they just kind of went to the producers and were like, look, we're doing all right. This show is doing very, very well. Can we just have like a little bit of money? And they went, let's go.
Oh my god.
In came 3 new actors who then immediately got to be put in the movie that happened like the next week.
It's
being a Power Ranger is wild.
Just assume that you would get paid so much money to be a Power Ranger. Again, both on screen and in the world of the Power Rangers.
Hopefully it's changed. Hopefully rights of Power Rangers has come on a lot since 1990.
With the deal that was struck recently, I'm sure Power Rangers...
Hopefully.
There's enough Power Rangers actors at this point that they could unionize themselves. SAG Power Ranger.
I had no idea it was so kind of exploitative of not only... you know, using footage and kind of just like, I don't know. Yeah, they're buying the footage, right? But still, it's
like,
it's
even late. The original one, there was 4 male Power Rangers. Like the yellow Power Ranger is a man, which is why the yellow Power Ranger doesn't have a skirt and the pink Power Ranger does.
Oh, really?
Because in the Japanese version, that was a man. Yeah. But they had to they cast a woman for that one for the actual live action stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that girls would watch them buy the toys.
The White Ranger, this is where they started getting into trouble, is that the White Ranger in the Japanese footage was a child. So he was man-sized, but a child when he would transform. So he'd be doing all these kind of like comedy, kind of like whoop, 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 and falls and all this stuff. And kids were like, what is going on? Why can't he stand up? Like, so then they were like, oh, what are we going to do? And they're like, we better get your man in the costume then and start doing some flips and stuff, you know? That's and then amazing. They started going, like, this is starting to cost us money, you know? And that's sadly when they started really getting the trouble, you know?
But to me, in my memory, like, granted, I was a small child, but, like, the Power Rangers seemed like they were everywhere. Mm. And the toys were everywhere. Mm. And, like, they're selling cassette tapes. Like, they're making money. They have to be. Do you know?
Oh, it was a fortune, yeah.
Yeah, it was an absolute...
Why won't they pay for anyone? Why won't they pay their show?
Yeah, I guess it was like
SCO 7. The last 6 months told you nothing.
Yeah. But even just like to keep the show going, like...
I think they were betting that the suit was what the draw was, not the actors. Which is kind of true. So, yeah. They weren't wrong on that.
Yeah. Because like... it became just unreal. It became this absolute, like, phenomenal isn't the word. And I remember that it became And then I was to myself like, geez, why am I going to, why am I bringing, like, these two are, like, fantastic podcasters. They don't want to talk about Power Rangers for an hour. But, like, it became, it was so, it was one of the very first things that I, because I have an addictive personality, and it was one of the very first addictions that I had. I loved it so much, and it was so all encompassing, and I just loved it, you know. Mm. But yeah, it was everywhere, you know. And
mm-hmm. yeah,
it was like Jingle All the Way then, in terms of getting toys and getting, because look, there's a nice ending to this story, but at the first height of Power Rangers, when Power Rangers hit and it absolutely blew up, and every single person was writing to Santi for a Power Ranger, it was one of the very first times that I remember. Now, this isn't the real Santi. This is the Santis that are on radio. Mm-hmm. And real Santi is off doing his job. Santi on the radio is doing a very, very specific job where, and I've done this job since, where the Santi on the radio is there to kind of like, just kind of let kids down easy a little bit if certain toys can't be got.
Oh my God.
And like, yeah, we did that a lot on a certain channel where you'd be there taking notes about, you'd be getting phone calls saying like, here, look, he's going to ask for this. Can you can Santi, Radio Santi say, oh, well, that's not, you know, oh, we're having very trouble getting that.
So you could just tell them that they've been too bold this year.
Yeah. This is why
you're
awful, should be.
And you're not getting your Furby.
This is why you should be Radio Santi. Did you ever get that Furby, Andrew?
I did. I got it. Oh, look, my Furby story is a whole other conversation. But I got the Furby. My mother hated the Furby, and then she told me that the Furby sadly passed away while I was at school. Because she took its batteries out because she was the one left at home. I don't know if either of you have ever had a Furby or lived in mm-hmm. a home with a Furby, but they require feeding and attention 24 hours a day.
Don't we all?
Far too, yes. It was far too much.
Try living with me, Andrew.
It was way too much to be for a little child to handle, and certainly the mother of a child to handle. So she... euthanized it, I think, probably the word I'd use. She euthanized it.
Because you know, like, I remember now, I think it kind of was, I think there was an inside job. I've never got this kind of qualified, but my father was Santi on radio a few times because he used to do the property show, and he had a nice, he could do a very good Santi impression. Mm-hmm. So he was occasionally Santi on Southeast East Coast Radio. So I'm pretty sure he was trying to let me down easily that Santi might not be able to get a Power Ranger. Because I remember listening to the radio and hearing this Radio Santi say, look, Power Rangers are just so hard to get. I'm not sure if Rudolph is going to be able to get it and all this stuff. And I remember my mother then on Christmas Eve saying, now you heard Santi, I don't think Power Rangers are able to get it. And I was very, you know, I was like, look, I know how big this is. Mm. Don't worry about it. I know that
I listened to the radio.
I listened to the radio.
I heard Santa.
I heard Dad say that. I heard Dad say that we're not, you know, it's probably hard to get. Now, I don't know. This is where the story has a happy ending for me, but makes you sound like an absolute arsehole. The very next morning, though, after hearing this worldwide warning on Christmas morning,
I'm sorry.
Who should turn up? Only this chap right here.
Look at him.
This is my...
Describe him to our listeners.
That is like, that's my Madeline. Yeah,
this is my Diana Letters. this was the first Power Ranger I ever got. That next morning, on Christmas morning, I got the red, who is my favorite, red Power Ranger.
He's lovely. And,
yeah, and like a really good, like you could tell, like there's also a thing where, I'm not sure if you can see it on here, but you can, the stamps on the toys are in Japanese because they didn't even use different molds. They just use the same molds that they made the original toys of that show from the 70s out of.
Yeah.
But they're actually like really well, it's a really well-made toy. And sure, look, it's 30 years later and he's still not.
Still got him.
He's still going. So that was my.
That's amazing.
That was my first parent. And I was, oh my word. Like, I was just blown away. I was the wee Andrew running around.
The feeling of getting a toy you want is not something that carries over. Like a lot of joy and love for, you know, television and music and things like that carries over. But you'll never be an adult opening a Power Ranger action figure. Sorry, not doll. You'll never.
You can call it what it is.
We don't have that anymore. Like just this object that we're going to play with you're so excited to play with it and you're so excited to like use your imagination and like it's such a sweet thing that kids do. But yeah, just the feeling of like opening a doll or something and just being like, oh my God, I'm going to play with this all day. Mm-hmm. And then you're basically just like moving it around the couch and making it walk and just sort of like, da, da, da. And it's all happening in here and it's so nice.
It's the best thing ever. And, you know, and this is another reason why I thought, yeah, no, this is why I have to pick Power Rangers is because, and I don't know if this might be the case for every kid or whatever, but whenever I was like, because then I, you know, more Power Rangers toys followed, and like the Zords were great. The Zords were we're like an hour into this and I've mentioned them. They also had big robots. That was the exciting thing. It was big robot fights. Like, you know.
You were always just waiting to get to the robot fights.
The big robot fight. Yeah.
Yeah, the ninja stuff was, they would just do flips.
Really. Yeah, it was that was
very clearly not be hitting each other. Like they were very bad at like.
Yeah, that's true.
But it was, once you got to the robots, it was fine. Yeah.
Yeah, the robot stuff was fantastic, and again, really, really great. But like, so I would disappear to my room for hours upon hours upon hours and play. But like, whenever I was doing it, I had to have a series in mind. I had to have, okay, this is episode one, this is episode two, this is episode three, this is episode four. And we weren't messing around with that plan. Nothing kind of happened. And there was love stories, you know, no girl talked to me till I was like 25, but there were love stories involved. Aww. And, you know, I would, if you were lucky enough to get another toy or whatever, you would like, okay, well, there's going to have to be a phase introduction here. There's going to have to be a reason for why this character joins in.
I love and, this.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, I like really took that side of things really, really seriously that like, okay, this has to have an end and this has to have an end to the point of this horrible feeling that was coming towards me that I think I'm reaching the point that I might be like, because like, eventually what happens to your Power Rangers is it's kind of like, you know, shifts at a bar. Your shift is over and you have to move on, you know? Mm-hmm. That a new cast comes along and you don't like the toys as much, you don't like the characters as much, and then suddenly you're released from duty and you can move on with your life and you can go watch X-Men or something like that. So long past that, when I kept on playing with my guys, and then I started thinking, do you know what? I'm kind of probably need to move on from this and stop playing.
Breaks my heart.
And I kept thinking, okay, now I need to fish. I need to end this show in my head. How do I give this the perfect ending? And I never did. I never did. So now I need to at some point get Power Ranger script, get my Power Ranger spec get script made or something, because I need to finish this because it's burning away in my head.
That's amazing.
Mm.
I love that you're so committed to the canon, even while playing. And meanwhile, I have like one Barbie doll and her boyfriend is like a giant seal teddy bear. Like, because that was who was available, and they live in like the box from the Hoover that my mom bought last week. And not at all considering scale or, you know, like how things would get along with one another. Yeah, her boyfriend's a big seal and a big fluffy seal, and that's fine. But I love the commitment to like, no, we're doing the storyline, and this is the red Power Ranger, and this is what he does, and this is the blue one, and these are his powers. And
so, what was your toy, Furby?
My toy.
Like, what was like? Yeah, that you just go, okay, this is my favorite toy of all time.
I liked my Betty Spaghetti. She was a doll, and she had kind of rubbery hair, and I ate that hair and it was great. I was a child who, and I'm so happy this happened this year with the Barbie movie that came out, where a lot of women my age had the conversation with one another that we all used to eat our Barbie's feet and like chew on her feet because they were really good to chew on. So if anyone out there also ate the hair of their Betty Spaghetti, do let me know. But, I just sort of like whatever was there, I'd just move it and make it do flips and stuff. And yeah, I didn't really have a toy. I had a Pikachu and I would talk all day to my Pikachu.
Like, well, that's very cool.
Yap away to it, like pretending we're off on an adventure. Yeah, my Pikachu was my guy for a while. But then I never had an action figure. And I feel like boys' play was always very different to girls' play. When I'd watch my brother play, it would be much more animated and there'd be lots of fighting and a lot more stories, I think, or stories where you're making the things do things. A lot of my play, I'd be playing nearby him, would be just me kind of looking at a doll and it's all just going on in my head, you know, and I'm just sort of like vaguely moving the doll while everything's happening inside, if that makes sense. I don't know if you were like that as well, Alan. Were you like very flippy with your...
We had a lot of wrestling figures.
Okay, yeah.
So you kind of have to, and they all have like special moves, like you press down and they jump up and stuff. So
I think my brother had toys like that, and he had a ring where you'd like pull one of them back in the corner or on the rope and it would like fling across the room and he'd aim it at me all the time.
That ring was a cool toy. I never had it, but that ring was, I wasn't a wrestling kid. That ring was a cool...
Yeah,
cool.
A little bit later, I had the bridge from Star Trek: Next Generation.
Oh yeah,
which I think is, I fell out of Power Rangers quite quickly. It was like a flip switch. I was like super, super into it, and then it was like a week end passed, and I was just like not gone from it. I don't even remember the second batch of Power Rangers. I think it was like a really intense thing. Cause like I think I was kind of swept up because like I hung around with like my brother who was 2 years younger than me, and our friend was like the year in between, so it was like that little continuity group. But like, our whole school was obsessed with Power Rangers for like 6 months. And then it was like, literally like, nobody cares about Power Rangers anymore.
Was it replaced by something? Did something else come along quickly?
I think for everybody, it was different stuff. For me, I think it was Star Trek. Star Trek. But I only had, because of like Star Trek figures weren't super available in Waterford. No. So I had Captain Picard, Deanna Troi, and Geordi LaForge, which is not a natural combination for good Star Trek storytelling. So it wasn't a whole lot.
Andy would have struggled to find an episode to get through with
them. It would have been a bottleneck episode. But yeah, Captain Picard was the only toy of the next gen that was ever in like Tesco's or Quinsert's.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where I got him, Quinsert, yeah.
Yeah, he was the only guy available. But do you know what was also at first, actually, and this is another reason, it just why it felt that luck was on my side a little bit, was I used to read a Power Ranger comic, you know? And like, it was a wee magazine for kids, like, you know?
Yeah.
And there was a crossword puzzle in it. Or some kind of puzzle type thing where you had to guess the letter. And I think this kind of probably summed up how I've done anything in life, where I remember going to my mother and saying, like, this doesn't work. Like, and it must be like a typo or something. Because, like, I know the answer is Goldar, who was a baddie in the Power Rangers. Like, I know the answer is Goldar. But, like, no matter what way you do it, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, just write. Like, what's the word? Just write Goldar, you know? And then I entered it, because she could enter it in this competition. And, like, I remember I got a letter saying that you've won this competition in this, like, international comic. And I was like, because I must have been the only, I don't know if I was the only, but, like, and it just felt like I was really rewarded for trying to find my way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. For kind of going like, I might be wrong here, but I'm just gonna plow on, you know?
I mean, that's a good attitude though.
And I got a Power Rangers Philofax, and
every little boy's dream. So useful in your day-to-day life. That's so funny. Oh, what did you do with your Philofax?
The amount of sales call, the amount of sales calls I was doing.
You were the talk of the office.
Yeah, they're like, Andrew, have you got those tax reports? No, have you got them in
right
a,
here.
Someone? Yeah, right here, bad boy.
It's like sending you a checkbook. Like, that's so bizarre. Like a Power Rangers checkbook. That's so bizarre. That's like, yeah, that's amazing.
That was a big day. Do you want to know what another big day was?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Right. Now, this was fantastic, okay? Because, like, nowadays, and my partner's just walked in, so this will sound great that I will be giving her a plug here, is that, look, obviously nowadays children's theatre is amazing. You get the likes of Barbro Children's Arts Festival that happens in October in Galway, doing fantastic shows from around the world for kids, right? Now, when you're in Arklow in the 90s, wasn't a lot of live theatre for the kiddos. And it was another thing, because where does a kid hear about a live show coming unless your parents see it on the news or whatever? But Power Rangers got to the point that Power Rangers was so big that there was a worldwide arena tour of the Power Rangers where they came to the Point Theatre. And it was called Power Rangers something. It's a Worldwide Danger or something like that it was called. And it was like this live show in the Three Arena. It is called the Three Arena in the Point Theatre. And I remember lovely Breda again, who we'll still watch a Power Ranger movie. Every time there's a new Power Ranger movie comes out, we will watch it
That's so
together.
Sweet.
That's nice.
But she said, I've got tickets for Power Rangers live. And I was like, what?
They're gonna be there.
And I had a handy childhood, but I remember saying to her, and nothing's gonna stop us. I said, like, what? I said, like, what on earth could have possibly stopped us? But I just remember like saying to her, like, and nothing's gonna stop us, because like,
that's
I think
amazing.
I was expecting the other shoe to drop. That something might happen where I don't get to go see the Power Rangers. She's like, no one's going to stop us. We are going to see Power Rangers live in Dublin. And
that's,
I was like,
so
oh my God. And I was talking to a friend of mine, Kate Dawson, who was there as well. And we were just talking about the other day. We're like, God, wasn't that the just the best night out ever? And myself, Breda, my cousin Rory, and the aunt who commented on my wonky walk went along to see Power Rangers live. And I'll tell you one thing, some people might say like, what was your gig? Like, people say, oh, like, I've never seen The National at Whelan's and all this stuff. I'm like, nah. Power Rangers. Three Arena. Yeah. You know, my choice for my favorite album is just going to be that single of the Power Rangers. I'd be
you,
like, Andrea,
you keep
look,
that in mind, my friend. We
Andrea,
will be coming back to that B-side.
You sit down there, Andrea. Let me take you by the hand here.
We have more time. We have more time to discuss that on a different podcast.
And so, yeah, we went along. And what was quite nice was there was kind of like a alternate juvenilia happening elsewhere, where then like my dad and Rory's father and husband and my brother went and they were like, well, we want to do something that evening as well. So they went along to one of the first ever land centres in Dublin, where you would sit down and you would play PC games together. So they were playing like Doom and stuff like that. So they were, it's what's funny, I was talking about that, there's an entire alternate juvenilia going on elsewhere that like, they were like, I was like, I have the best day ever. And they're like, we've had the best day ever.
But and nothing stopped you.
Nothing stopped.
I'm sorry. I'll never get over you saying, and nothing's going to stop. Yeah.
But like, so. I remember now, you know, I remember my brother saying to me, he's like, you know that they're not going to be, the actors aren't going to be there. You know, you're like, it's just going to be, and I was like, you never know. You absolutely never know. Because hope springs eternal, you know? And we went to see this show and it was spectacular. I've watched a bit of it on YouTube. I'm thinking, well, look, I was easily pleased as a kid. But like, it was spectacular. Like the putties jumped out. They were the kind of the henchmen of Rita Repulsa. And then Alpha 5 robot comes out and says, they've taken over. Clearly different recording. They've taken over Dublin. We need the Power Rangers Dublin. Now. Dublin. We need the Power Rangers. Shout Power Rangers. And like, I remember thinking like, I got to shout these Power Rangers here, you know? Oh. And then suddenly they like on the screen, the actors appear doing their wee morphin thing, you know? Mm. And each time one of them morphed, a guy would spin through the curtain in full-on Power Ranger costume.
That sounds amazing.
And they would fight the Power Ranger. They would fight the putties. And it was just fantastic. But do you know what was a rare thing? And I thought it awoke something in me a little bit. Maybe this is why I love going to see Coldplay and stuff like that. Is that the Power Rangers lost. The Power Rangers lost in that. Because Lord Zedd, he became a massive inflatable head that took over the entire stage. Lord Zedd was the baddie after Rita Repulsa. And he became a massive inflatable head who took over the entire stage. And the Power Rangers were defeated. And Alpha 5 was just saying, we can't win. We can't win. Only the light can defeat Lord Zedd now. But then like every kid looked at each other and realized we were handed in a kind of a reflective thing on the way in. And he was like, and Alpha 5 was like, does anybody have any extra light?
Oh!
And we're like, oh my God.
I do!
Alpha, mate.
Don't even worry about it.
Don't even worry about it.
Got you.
Every kid standing up and going like, yeah, just going crazy. And then like, you know, the thing was deflated, you know? But I think that kind of audience, what's the word I'm looking for?
Participation
is why, like, I love, like, a sing-song. Why I love Viva La Vida, you know, at a Coldplay gig and all this stuff.
Do you know who
like,
I'm
Chris
thinking
Martin,
of?
Chris Martin, I Have More Light.
Who I'm thinking of in that story is, so there's you, there's your mom, there's a kind of a family, there's all the kids in the audience. But there's also somewhere in the three arena, a group of 20-year-old lads who are kind of wasters, kind of not doing much. Maybe they're in college and they're just smoking a lot and they're hanging out a lot. And they're like, we should go to this thing. And I, if you went to that show as a kind of a teen or an adult, I would like to hear from you. Because like that would just be like the most, I can't imagine that level of like kid energy, which is, you know, when you've got five kids who are excited about something, that's a lot. Like the three arena of kids fighting the Power Rangers, like, if you could harness that energy into
Alpha did. That's what defeated Lord Zedd.
Well, yeah.
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 That guy playing Alpha must have felt pretty good every night. We went, myself and Carlana and her little sister, we went to see Jedward after he did X Factor in Cork City Hall. And
so
like
you know what I'm talking about.
It was off the charts kid energy. Yeah. The opening act was a local breakdancing troupe. And they like they we sat down the back so we weren't getting any kids away. And literally Jennifer was standing right beside us in like full on boxers gowns, waiting to go up on stage.
Amazing.
We were like,
amazing.
Oh, shit, it's Jennifer right beside me. Yeah, but again, it was fun. It was fun to like
Have I ever talked about
their energy?
I think I've said it. I think I've said told Andrew about the Seabreeze Festival. Have you ever been to the Seabreeze Festival?
No.
Again, to bring back the man who we mentioned at the start, Peter McGann, fellow Arkloid, will know of this well. Is the Seabreeze Festival what is a weekend in July in Arklow, County Wicklow, and it is, you know, it used to have a pig race, used to have a princess thing. They've retired a lot of the more controversial elements of the Arklow Seabreeze Festival. Like the very first thing a winning princess would do is chase down the winning. And like, we are a seaside town. I mean, I don't know why this is, I guess just it was easily organized.
So you can't be the princess. There's no princess competition?
No, sadly not. Aww. Been retired and the pig racing has been retired
that I've had for the 8 seconds since you mentioned the princess competition.
Look, I've got connections. Look, if you want, yeah, we'll get you that. We'll get you that wiki. But yeah, 1 year Jedward did it, and it was on. I just remember seeing kids. It was like kids hanging out of windows. Like it just the main street just became insane. And you know, I remember there was a lot of grumpy people going like, oh sure, why are they going mad over this. But like, you know, as my as my father always says about these things, he's like, well, you love your stuff, you know, like people are gonna love what they love, you know. And yeah, so Jedward at the Seabreeze Festival,
that's your number two.
That was my number two, yeah. Then the national at Wheelers. I didn't see the national at Wheelers.
I think an underrated thing about Power Rangers and why definitely resonated so much with us and our school was that every single catchphrase is shouted. You know? So it just gives you a lot of stuff you can shout as a small boy.
What are some of the catchphrases?
So it was
Morphin Time.
The names of the... It's Morphin Time.
Yeah.
We need Megazord Power now.
Yeah.
There's like Tyrannosaurus, Mastodon, Pterodactyl. She really screams Pterodactyl. It's a really powerful moment.
Pterodactyl.
She really goes for it. Yeah. Rita Repulsa saying, finally, after 10,000 years, I'm free. Every episode. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
That really brought me straight back when I watched the first episode again. I was like, oh shit. Yeah. Mm.
My era is when Lord Zedd took over. Mm-hmm. When Lord Zedd became the baddie, that's when I was like, okay, this is a baddie that I prefer to. Mm-hmm. But again, which is quite controversial because again, they needed footage. So they said, well, let's create an American baddie. Let's create an American made baddie. And he is this. So they're just like, well, let's just make a baddie like. And he is this. It was them taking the lead instead of the Japanese designers. And he's this awful thing. Like he's got like no skin. And it's just like a metal skeleton. And kids were terrified. Again, like it was like the Green Ranger again. There was a massive backlash against Lord Zedd. So then they're like, well, we're going to have to bring back Rita Repulsa then. So then they brought in a new actress, and then they, like me with the toys, I guess, they created this backstory that went, she took a youth potion, became a different actress, and then used a love potion on Lord Zedd. The two of them fell in love and became the new baddies of the show together. And then that also made Lord Zedd a lot softer because he was in love. So kids kind of preferred him because he's a lot more funny. So the amount of just problem solving that was going on in the flip in Power Rangers is
just
genuine. Like,
fires,
like I'm telling you, like, do you know the show Toys That Made Us?
Mm-hmm.
If you ever have a spare hour, watch the Power Rangers episode of this because it is wild. It is wild, the stuff that went on when they were making the show.
It seems to me that they probably would have saved so much time and money if they just wrote a script, hired some actors, filmed it, and released the show, rather than all this, like, just like putting out fires and like...
You would think that, but that's, they nearly went bankrupt when the Ham Sabam sold it onwards. When they said, look, we're just going to start doing this different. We're going to start making it in-house. We're going to have complete control over it from now on because this is not the way to do things. And he went, you know what? That's not for me, but I will sell you the rights if you want to.
Sounds like effort to match.
Yeah. And they... So he went on and the ratings, the toy sales, everything plummeted. Wow. And they sold it back to him for like half of what he sold it for. And he says, right, and now I'm going to go back to exactly how I made it before.
We're going to gut it.
And that is still the Power Rangers that is on today is done in that exact same way of just getting some old footage and marrying it with new actors. And that's how Power Rangers is still here. 30 years later, which is probably not a good lesson in life. But your man's a billionaire. Probably not a good lesson in life. Yeah, like just like he has like political power and all this jazz.
That's what you want for the guy who wrote the Inspector Gadget theme song is political power.
I suppose it is.
I want that guy to have money at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. He deserves that much.
Did he write the Power Rangers theme song as well?
He did.
I assume he did.
That's an amazing piece of music.
Mm.
It's great.
I was listening to it and I was like, the melody is actually quite wistful towards the end. If like Phoebe Bridgers or someone did it.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, that last little
quite sad.
Is really unexpected. I didn't remember that. I remembered the Go-Go Power Rangers bit, but that...
Yeah.
The last Power Rangers, it's like... It's a weird cadence to end that on. It's like, ooh, what is this?
Yeah.
And speaking of millionaires, do you know who that made a millionaire of?
Simon, Joe Satriani or someone, is it? No.
Simon Cowell. Because Simon Cowell was a letter boy in like Louis Walsh's record company. And he was making his way up and he wanted to take the art out of music a little bit.
And he did.
Said, yeah, mission accomplished.
And he was like, but why can't we just release stuff that is guaranteed to sell? And they were like, stop talking to Simon. And apparently he annoyed Louis Walsh so much that he listened to him. And so what he did was he gave 3 record contracts out to, I think, Zig and Zag, to wrestling, and to the Power Rangers. So he was like, let's put out those tapes. And then that made him become, it was so successful, he was made boss of the company. And that's what made Simon Cowell. So the
amazing
Power Rangers theme song made, there would be no Shane Ward without Power Rangers.
And what a world that would be.
I wouldn't want to know it.
There'd be no Jedward actually to bring it full circle.
There'd be no Jedward. Mm. There'd be no,
because God, there wouldn't be an X
Factor. God.
Yeah. Well, that was pop stars, but yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't base all my fashion choices on Dermot O'Leary. God, like it's... God, could you imagine a world without Dermot O'Leary? I would. No, God,
I try to.
I would, like, you know, the world of fashion, wouldn't know.
Andy, have we exhausted it? Is there more you want to say? Is there more to say?
I mean, there's always more, you know. Like, it's been an enduring... it's been an enjoyment. And what has been nice, actually, is that do you know what I was saying about writing stories and how I would love to write my Ranger stories?
Your script. Mm.
You can buy them now on Patreon. No, you can't. that there has been... I read a lot of comic books. Okay. I read a lot of comic books. I can't. I am a terrible sleeper. I know I've drank about 2 cups of coffee in the last half hour and it's like 10 to 9.
Andy.
But I
you
cannot
drink coffee this late. I'm sorry, you can't do that. What are you doing?
I am a terrible sleeper. I'm a terrible sleeper. And the only thing that I found to help me sleep is I have, for the last 10 years or so, read a lot of comic books on my tablet, because it's just perfect thing to fall asleep, because like you read 3 pages of big colorful yo and then you're like gone, you know. That's my impression of falling asleep, in case you didn't catch that. But the best comic books in the last few years have been, these guys brought out a Power Ranger comic book, And it is very much like, if you liked the Power Rangers as a kid, you're probably a certain age now. This is us telling the stories that we think should have been told. And they are fantastic. They genuinely are quality reading. So I would 100% recommend Boom Studios Power Ranger comics to anyone.
That's very cool.
To anyone. Absolutely anyone. I think they are fantastic.
Andy, this has been so great because we've done a lot of episodes of Juvenalia, and I think you're as about as obsessed with your topic as anybody has ever been.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's Power Rangers.
I did.
It's like 50 levels of devotion.
Well, actually, I did leave off what I forgot, but what I've just remembered now, one detail about that live show again, actually, is that I wore this massive jacket to it, this massive puffer jacket that was kind of like the one, you know, Alan Partridge wears to the funeral, that kind of type one.
Yeah.
But it had like the, it had like the Power Rangers on the, it had the power, all, you know, and I wore it to school and all this stuff, it had the Power Rangers on the back of it. And it was like, my mother got it in one of those shops that don't really exist anymore, where I think it was like, you know, they made their living from knockoff Man United jerseys and things like that. And they were fantastic. Like Old Trafford would be like here and stuff like that instead of like, you know. And we went in there and I seen this Power Rangers jacket. And I was like, I need that jacket. And I wore it like every day, and I wore it to that gig. Aww. But again, I was an odd looking child. I was always quite broad and I was big child. And So there was so much puffer involved in this jacket. It was like a life preserver as well. So like I'm this massive guy in a massive puffer jacket sitting down watching the Power Rangers in the Point is a very, very, very happy memory of mine.
Oh, thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah.
That was so
lovely.
Please
plug anything you want to plug.
Do you know what would be lovely if people wanted to listen to Promenade? That would be lovely. It's my wee baby. It's changed my life. It's fantastic. I was gonna say it's fantastic. That's not for me to say.
It is fantastic. We can
that's
say
for
that.
The many and, award nominations and critics.
Exactly.
depending on when this goes out, next Tuesday is the Irish Podcast Awards, and it's up for 3 awards in that. So depending on when this goes out, I'm either nominated, and it's like Schrodinger's cat, I'm either nominated for 3 awards or I've lost 3 awards.
Sure.
So if this goes out after Tuesday, please still don't ignore the awards and just listen anyway.
Just listen to
so,
it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is it's meant an awful lot. It's meant an awful lot to me.
And it's an excellent podcast. We also highly endorse it.
There's some wonderful, there's some really, really good stories. And you know what's actually nice? I was thinking that when I was last on Juvenalia, and you guys said, is there anything to plug? I was like, well, I have this thing coming out called Promenade soon. And it's nice now.
Aww.
A few years later that it's become a little bit.
Maybe the next time you're on, we'll ask you to plug something and you'll say, well,
my
Disney
Power
have bought my Power Rangers script.
Yeah.
You secured a Rita Repulsa. Everything's looking good.
Yeah. I would say the last Power Ranger movie wasn't good. So look, if the rights are going cheap,
yeah,
please
call
send me some. Yeah, please send me some money. You can have my, if you want to put up my Revolut or anything with this. If you want to send me some money, I will buy the rights of Power Rangers. Can you imagine that? Anyway, go on.
Andrea, where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram, AndreaCleary__. You can find me on Blue Sky, AndreaCleary.bluesky.com. Something, I don't know, whatever that is. I'm there. If you're there, you'll find me. And that's it for the moment.
I'm Alan McGuire on Blue Sky, I think, or Alan_McGuire. It's one of them. Juvenalia is Juvenalia. Just Juvenalia. We have to just Juvenalia on Blue Sky. Yeah, so that's cool.
Oh my God. This is like the first time not saying Juvenalia is Juvenalia Pod on Twitter.
Yeah. It's Julian Pod on Instagram, though. That's still there. Also, we have Patreon, where we talk about stuff we started and finished recently in a semi-regular podcast series called Started Finished.
It's a lot of Big Brother lately. I'm sorry. A
lot of Big Brother lately. But also Douglas Copeland and
yes.
Fall of the House of Usher and lots of other things like that as well. And a lot of video game talk as well.
I love Fall of the House of Usher. I love that. So, yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dean McDonald, for artwork.
Thanks,
thank you, to Cassie and Tall Tales for having us.
Thanks, Cassie.
Andrea, you look like you're about to say something else there.
Nope. Just thanking.
Thank you, Andy Gaffney.
Thanks, Andy.
See you soon, everybody.
Woo!
Bye.